nail the tongue to the tree. I just think of sticking out your tongue, putting a spike in there and nailing it. The idea is Jesus was nailed to the cross. You see, your tongue is not your own. Your tongue has been bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Remember that. That's the idea. It's kind of a twist of that term. We've been bought with a price, precious blood of Jesus Christ. But your tongue has the blood of Christ.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Honolulu, with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the book of James, chapter 3.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
James is not telling you silence is golden, just don't talk. I mean, some people like to talk, some people don't like to talk. They like to listen. But he's telling us to use the tongue wisely, to be able to open our mouth in wisdom and have the result that the Holy Spirit is controlling our tongue. We're always aware that the Lord is right there. If you think about when you talk, just think about Jesus Christ being right there next to you. He's watching you when you talk, when you speak, whether it be on the phone or whether it be in person or whatever. He's right there watching. And would you be ashamed at what's coming out of your mouth, you know, knowing that Jesus is watching you? Well, that's the idea with the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. It's a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And so he says, now he gives some examples I think is very interesting, because in verse 3 and 4, he says, now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths, that's verse 3, we're in James chapter 3, so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well, verse 4, behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So here, notice he relates the tongue to two types of steering devices. First of all, a bit that goes into a horse's mouth, because that bit directs the internal inclinations of that horse. If it wasn't for that bit, that horse could go anywhere he wants. Horses are so powerful. And so the bit directs the internal inclination of the horse. If you don't have a bit, you can't say, nice horsey, do this, do that. That won't work. It won't cut it. To steer, you need a bit in the horse's mouth, but then also you need to know how to control the bit. Years ago, when I was kid surfer, we used to drive up to Mexico and surf at 38K and, you know, different spots up there. And I remember the surf was flat. And so we were across the border and we're just sitting watching the surf. And here is a Mexican fellow, and he's got about five horses that he's leading, just walking down the beach. And the guys are four of us. And the guy said, hey, let's ride horses. I'd never ridden a horse. I said, okay. So we all got in the horse and we started going. And the horse that I got, I thought I could talk the horse into being a nice horsey. No, it didn't work. You know, so I'm holding on the reins. I don't know how to, and then I'm holding on to the horn of the saddle, you know, because he's going. But he was going right for this sign. It was a sign. It had two poles on either side, and the horse's head just fit perfect under it, but not the rider's head. And I'm looking at this, and I thought, this horse is probably, you know, nailed a number of riders. So as he went for that, I ducked down as low as I could. I got under it, but you know, if you don't know how to ride a horse, if you don't know how to use that bit steers the inner inclination of the horse. And so, you know, without that, you're not going to be able to steer the horse. I heard a story of a Christian horse. This isn't a true story. It's just a story. A Christian horse, and the fellow bought it, and the owner said, you know, he is a Christian. He only knows biblical commands. If you want him to go, just say, praise the Lord, and he'll take off. He'll go. But if you want him to stop, say, hallelujah, and then he'll stop. And so the new guy gets on the horse. He says, praise the Lord. The horse takes off. Now, this guy's a pretty good rider. He's going, praise the Lord. And he's going faster and faster and faster. And then all of a sudden, he realizes there's a cliff that he's heading for. And he's trying to remember that word for stop. And so he yells out, Hosanna. And the horse keeps going, glory to God. Amen. He gets closer and closer to that precipice. Blessings, mercy. Finally, he yells, hallelujah. The horse stops right at the edge. He looked down. That cliff was like 200 feet down. He looks down. He wipes the sweat off his brow, and he goes, praise the Lord. The point being, you can't talk a horse into being nice or doing what you tell it to do. It needs a bit. I mean, I know there are some very friendly horsemen, the horse whisperers, you know, that kind of thing. But normally, the bit directs the internal nature of the horse. Now, notice the second thing, the ship. The ship, on the other hand, it has no will of its own. The ship doesn't. The ship doesn't have some internal inclination where it wants to go, but it's all external. The external forces that push it, that drive it. You know, the waves, the wind, that kind of thing. And so it needs a rudder. And that rudder turns it in the desired direction that the pilot wants it to go. And so the rudder for the ship, as the winds are buffeting it, and, you know, rudder makes it go in the direction it should. The rider with a bit, the horse, is directed in those internal inclinations. And so without these two, without the bit and without the rudder, the wild will of the animal and the wild waves of the sea will determine the course that each will take. Now it's talking about our tongue. It's a great illustration of our tongue. Likewise, our life has internal and external forces. The internal is our sin nature, that evil nature within. But now we have a new nature. We have the nature of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit to direct us. It's like the bit with the horse. He can direct us. And the external forces, well, those forces that are trying to direct our life, the carnality, the sinful ways, the world, the flesh, the devil, those things try to force us in a certain direction and try to speak certain things. Those things want to try to rule over us, the external and the internal forces. Well, you see, the allurement of the world and the pressure of peers that want to push us in one direction or another, influence us away from the Lord externally, and then those inward desires, those carnal kind of desires. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, if we don't fix our eyes on Jesus, then we find that the old nature will direct our tongue, say things we shouldn't say, and the outward pressure of what comes at us, the trials, the temptations, the bad mouthing from others that come at us. Oh, yeah, you said this about me. Those are the external forces. So notice what he says, and we'll end with from verse 6. It says, so also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Wow. Like the bit, like the rudder, The tongue is small, and yet it's powerful, very powerful. It has the capacity to do good or to do harm. It has the capacity to do major damage. You see, first it boasts of great things. That's what he says right here, boasting of great things, kind of self-exalting. Look at me. Don't look at others, look at me. As the disciples said, they argued over who was the greatest in the kingdom of God or who was greatest among the disciples, those 12. It's self-exalting. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:31, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Psalm 115:1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory because of thy loving kindness, because of thy truth. You see, whatever God does in our life, for our life, in our family, in our business, whatever, all glory be to God, great things he has done. We need to recognize that. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. So often we forget about that. We just kind of live our life and we almost expect God to look out for us and do good. And yet we're not thankful in these things. We don't have gratitude in these things. And so when we don't have gratitude toward God or glory in God, it usually we start pointing to ourselves and looking at ourselves. But no, it's to God be the glory, great things he has done. And notice what it says about the tongue. It defiles. Defiles there in verse 6. Defiles the entire body. You see, it has the potential of self-incrimination. The term there is spot or a stain. Have you ever had maybe a nice white shirt on, or maybe a garment? Maybe a lady has a nice dress, maybe a pastel dress, and there's a stain on it. You're always thinking about the stain. You know, you can't get that out of your mind. And you see, it's the same with the tongue. When the tongue is used in the wrong way, it's a stain. It's a blot on our life. We can't forget about it until we deal with it. And that's what he's laying out here. And it stains the whole person. You see, the bit directs the horse, the rudder steers the ship. And notice what it says here, hell rules over the uncontrolled tongue. That's the source of it, hell. It's what the scripture says. Set on fire by the fire of hell. You see, our tongue can start fires, or we can extinguish fires. We can speak good and nice things and pleasant things and calming things, or we can keep stirring it up. Oh, yeah, they said that. Yeah, well, you know, I've heard them say this and the other. And you know what they did over here? And all of a sudden, we've just strike a match and we're lighting it from our tongue. And then all of a sudden, a big forest fire. And we've ruined a reputation. We brought scorn upon a person. I've experienced that. And you can see it in people's faces. You can see how warm they are and you know, just the pure relationship. And then all of a sudden you hear some rumor, something is said to them about you. And all of a sudden you see it. It's in their eyes. You see it. There's like a standoffish. They don't have that relationship. Why? Because somebody started a fire. They were fire starters. And you were the brunt of it. And now that person looks at you in a different way. You see, hell directs that destructive tongue. And the source of evil, you see, it's in the tongue. And it's in the unseen spirit world. That's why the Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, forces, and wicked forces in heavenly places. So yeah, that person, but there's a spiritual force behind them that's directing them. Not the Holy Spirit, but some evil force behind them. You see, when it talks about that spirit world, that world of the damned, hell or Gehenna, it's the Greek word for the Valley of Hinnom. It's southwest of Jerusalem. If you've ever been there to Israel, you can see it. It's that very place that Ahaz and Manasseh, when they sacrificed children in that area, children to Molech, in the arms of Molech, that false god. And then Josiah, when he came along in the reforms of Josiah, when he stopped that kind of practice and he turned that valley into a city dump, and they burn fires there constantly. And the fires burn continually. And Jesus, in his day, he pictured that as fiery judgment where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And so the Lord dealt with that. How can you stop the tongue from doing those kind of things? Well, a few ways. Let me share just a few. And what we'll do is we'll carry this over into next week. And so I think we could really spend some time on when we're talking about the tongue. It's very needful. First of all, I would say, and this gives you a graphic picture, nail the tongue to the tree. You got a picture of that? Nail the tongue to the tree. Now, I know a lot of people, young people now, they have pierced tongues. I don't know why, but they do. But nail the tongue to the tree. I just think of sticking out your tongue, putting a spike in there, and nailing it. The idea is Jesus was nailed to the cross. That's the idea. I wanted a graphic picture for you. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. You see, your tongue is not your own. Your tongue has been bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Remember that. That's the idea. It's kind of a twist of that term. We've been bought with a price, precious blood of Jesus Christ. But your tongue has the blood of Christ. In Exodus chapter 15, another illustration here, verse 22, in the wilderness of Shur, the people were grumbling. They grumbled a lot. And they were at a place called Marah, or bitter. The waters were bitter. And so it was hot and dry, and they were thirsty, and there was water there, but it was bitter. It was poison, toxic water. And so what did Moses do? God said, Moses, take the tree and throw the tree in the water. And you see, the water became pure, became sweet. It became drinkable. The idea, the tree, the cross. The cross makes a bitter tongue sweet. So nail your tongue to the tree, to the cross. The second thing we need to do is place the tongue under arrest. Place the tongue under arrest. It might go something like this. Pastor Bill's tongue has been taken into custody this morning. It resisted arrest, causing quite a scene. Had to subdue it and put it in restraints. You see, the Bible tells us in Psalm 141:3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Psalm 39:1, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. You see, the tongue, what I'm saying here is place the tongue under arrest. You see, the tongue has been arrested, it's been tried, it's been convicted, and it's now imprisoned without the possibility of parole. And the arresting officer was Jesus Christ. He is supervising the prisoner from here on out. That's the second point. Think about that. Let that happen in your mouth, in your tongue. And the third thing, I'll just leave you with three things. Starve the fire. Remember the tongue, like a little set of forest fire, it's a small member, starts a fire, fires of hell. Starve the fire. Proverbs 26:20 says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Be a fire extinguisher and not a fire starter. Quit fueling the flames of the fire by by listening and telling things you shouldn't be listening to and telling others. Starve the fire. Don't put wood in the fire. Don't light that fire. You see, untold damage is done by a tongue that's not contained. I think I gave this illustration before. Let me give it once again. I think it's so good. And then we'll end with this. There was once a young lady with a very careless tongue. She went throughout the town gossiping about a wise and gentle rabbi with whom she disagreed. One day, feeling a sense of shame, she came to the rabbi and asked for forgiveness. He realized the gravity of her sin and the damage done and told her he would forgive her, but first she needed to go home, take a feather pillow from the house, cut it open, and scatter the feathers to the wind wherever she had spoken an unkind word about him. Afterwards, he said, "Return back here and he will forgive her." She thought about it, that it was a strange request, but she dutifully did what he asked. Upon returning, she asked, "Now am I forgiven?" The rabbi replied, "Just one more thing. Go gather up all the feathers and put them back into the pillow." "But," she said, "that's impossible. They're spread everywhere, and I don't know where all of them have been blown." The rabbi replied, "Precisely. And even though I will forgive you, the damage that you have done with your tongue is irretrievable." The tongue. Nail it to the tree, place it under arrest, and starve the fire. Don't hear or tell stories. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, this is a tall task for us. But it's like a bit that in the horse that directs its inclinations, your Holy Spirit will direct our inward sin nature to incline us toward the Spirit of God and toward what pleases Him. And then also it's like a rudder, those outside forces that want to push us one way or another. Again, you, by the power of the Holy Spirit and your word, you direct us. And so, Lord, let it be in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study in the book of James, chapter 3. You can hear or watch this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. Take advantage of our vast media archive.
We really appreciate any word back from our listeners. If you'd like to reach us with a note, a comment, or even some financial support, you can do so online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com.
Now may the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in James chapter 3. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.